May the Lord help us to commence with hymn number 19. Behold the glories of the Lamb amidst his Father's throne. Prepare new honours for his name and songs before unknown. Hymn number 19.
Thank you. Let us read from the Word of God in St. Matthew's Gospel, reading in chapter 27 and part of chapter 28. Matthew chapter 27, commencing to read at verse 35. We read this morning, we know from in the record of how the Lord was there and accused, and then there was Peter's denial, and the Lord before the judge, before the governor, and Pilate, and now from verse 35, Matthew chapter 27, verse 35, and they crucified him, and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, "They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots." And sitting down, they watched him there, and set up over his head his accusation written, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Then were there two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and another on the left. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads and saying, "Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross." Likewise also the chief priests, mocking him with the scribes and elders, said, "He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him." He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now, if he will have him, for he said, "I am the Son of God." The thieves also which were crucified with him cast the same in his teeth. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Some of them that stood there, when they heard that, said, "This man calleth for Elias." And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. The rest said, "Let be, let us see whether Elias will come to save him." Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened. Many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. And when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, "Truly, this was the Son of God." And many women were there beholding afar off, which followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering unto him, among which was Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James, and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's children. When the even was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea, named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. And he went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. When Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out of the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulchre and departed. And there was Mary Magdalene and the other Mary sitting over against the sepulchre. Now the next day that followed, the day of the preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, "Sir, we remember that that deceiver said, well, he was yet alive, after 3 days I will rise again. Command therefore that the sepulchre be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away, and say unto the people, he is risen from the dead. So the last error shall be worse than the first." Pilate said unto them, "Ye have a watch. Go your way, make it sure as you can." So they went and made sure the sepulchre, sealing the stone and setting a watch. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, "Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lie, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. Behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you." And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, "All hail." And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, "Be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that I go into Galilee, and there shall ye see me." Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and took counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, "Say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you." So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to deny all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. May the Lord bless his holy word to us, and may he help us in prayer. Let us pray. O Lord God Almighty, we come before thee now. O do grant to us each a breath of real prayer. Oh, may we have that prayer indicted by thee, Lord, who knoweth what we are and how we are and what need we are in. Lord, we are gathered here, company of dying sinners. Oh, fast we are journeying on in our lives. And oh, meeting in the evening hour of thy day now here. Oh, thy day is fast spent, Lord. Come and abide with us here. Come and tarry with us, as it were. Oh, come and favour us to have and feel thy blessed presence here. In that way that thou thyself, Lord, hast explained, thou wilt send the Holy Spirit in thy name from the Father. Oh, we come in prayer before thee and to thee we trust, O God, our Father. Plead in the precious name of Jesus. O Lord, we know and so greatly depend, wholly depend upon the advocacy of Christ, our Lord, our Saviour, that thou, O God, our Father, thou wilt make us, favour us to know we are accepted in our prayers and praises in thy beloved Son. Oh, what a great favour this is, Lord. And oh, there is said, open thy mouth wide and I will fill it. We can come, O Lord, by grace with large petitions. No one said for his grace and power as such, none can ever ask too much. So, Lord, help us each together here in prayer now. As one is praying publicly, audibly, may each dear soul who knows thee by grace pray too. May we come together to the footstool of mercy at the throne of grace. O Lord, do come and manifest thy favour here tonight. You know, with our dear friend and brother deacon has prayed, oh, we pray, we beg, that we may so know, that we feel so much union as before each service here, we feel it, have held it many times, in what is begged for. And oh, how we do, in all of it we know we need thee, Lord, our precious Lord and Saviour. We need thee to come and be the master of the assembly of us together, Lord. Oh, as we quoted this morning regarding thee, the heavenly Shiloh, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Oh, we pray, Lord, as we know, Lord, people here are expecting thy dear servant from Black Boys to come among them in the week. Who knoweth how when we were there with his people, that was the subject. Oh, thy gathering thy people unto thee, and to him shall the gathering of the people be. Oh, may it truly be so here tonight, in every place where thy people gather. May it be unto thee, unto him, the heavenly Shiloh. Do reveal thyself, Lord. Oh, do favour thy people. Oh, we may by faith behold thee, we may see thee. Oh, Lord, we've been pondering the lines, see him in our wretched place, see him stretched upon the tree. see him. Oh, we may by faith see thee, Lord. Oh, we may behold thee, Lord. And indeed we may behold the glories of the Lamb. Oh, Lord, to know thee as that one who come to sacrifice thyself, the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God for sinners slain, who has not shed his blood in vain. Bless the friends, Lord, each of them, Lord, each one that feels their need of salvation. Even the little ones, the young people, Lord, you know, if there we tried, we feel very feebly we tried to speak to them this afternoon regarding salvation. Oh, Lord, oh, the favours that we beg that they might know, particularly and specially an interest in thy great salvation. We pray the wonderful work and operation of the Spirit, we hope in some has been begun. We pray it may be begun in many, and we quicken precious souls into life, and they will, as we know, when thou dost quicken, hast quickened a soul, we know and believe and assure thou wilt go on to be gracious. And oh, we pray for this, we watch for this, Lord, we watch unto prayer, and in this way for souls, we carry burden for souls that thou hast laid upon us. And we pray that thy work may appear unto thy servants and thy glory unto their children. Do so work in young souls. Oh, we pray, none are too young. None are too young to be made by thee. And if it is thy will so to do, they will be made by thee to become concerned about their never-dying souls. We pray that the wonderful quickening influence of the Spirit may be effectual to this purpose. We know it will ever be so according to thy will. Oh, we do depend upon, we look and acknowledge the way of thy purpose, which is grounded upon effectual calling. Thou dost begin thy work in sinners whom thou hast set thy love upon. So may the witness of effectual calling be here among thy people, among the families, among thy people as a church and people. Oh, may that witness of effectual calling be wonderfully known, seen, oh Lord, and that there may be the fruits that follow according to thy teaching and blessing a precious soul. Oh Lord, do work then. Thou knowest the burden we have of the souls of the people. Oh, thou knowest how we feel our great accountability standing before the people, before young and old. And Lord, each of us in our paths in life, oh, how one feels greatly accountable to thee, that we may be faithful and be in a loving purpose, Lord, and under the influence of the Spirit to speak thy word faithfully. For like thy servant the prophet, oh, we tremble at thy word. Oh, that we may speak thy word faithfully, for what is the charm to the wheat, saith the Lord. Oh, we do look and pray there may be that real substance, that real favour, Lord, of thy garnering, thy people in, thy working in them, thy right hand planting, thy working as the heavenly husbandman, thy dealing with souls in that way. Oh, the preparing of the soil, Lord, the ground, the sowing of the seed in good ground. May there be good ground hearers here tonight. Oh, may thy word be sown. May it be sown in their hearts to really truly grow, and there may be that profit, Lord, that increase to thy glory, increase in thy favour of grace, that thy people may grow in grace and in the knowledge of their Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Oh, we want the increase. But we know, we solemnly acknowledge, God giveth the increase. Paul may plant, Apollos may water, but God giveth the increase. So, Lord, we would be in thy hand to plant and to water, but thou must give the increase. Oh, Lord, help us thus. And Lord, as we are here together in thy house, gathered unto thee, we trust. We are mindful of friends gathering in thy name, in the various causes of truth. Thou knowest the number of places one preaches in the causes, Lord, in the evening hour of thy day, and we have our mind and heart toward them, Lord, that thou would wonderfully favour them, bless them, and the ministry of the word may be with power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost. Oh, may it be so here, Lord. Do not leave it to be just my mere words, but oh, may it be in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. Oh, that thou wouldst assure thy people of their part in the Redeemer's blood. Oh, Lord, thou knowest how we begun with that holy, sacred theme, Lord. Not that man's words are holy, but what man's words are of thee, the Lamb of God, the Holy Lamb of God. Oh, how we think of it, and have many times thought of it. As we hear, Lord, thou knowest, and met with the friends for a church meeting this year, and we remember a former occasion, and oh, we remember that theme then regarding the Lamb of God. Lamb of God, we fall before. It's the same tonight, Lord. Oh, Lamb of God, we fall before thee. We have to fall. We would fall at thy feet. We fall before thee. We want to be low, and we want to be looking up to thee. We want to behold thee, our Lord. Thou art our Lord, our life, our all. May the dear friends feel this, blessedly feel it. Jesus, my all, to heaven is God. And to be looking to thee, our great high priest above. Oh, to be so blessed to know and believe and feel the wonderful confidence of faith in that. They're highly exalted, given a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Oh, in bowing before thee, Lord, oh, may we have the Holy Spirit giving witness of what thou didst suffer, what thou didst go through, what we've read of how thou wast crucified on Calvary's tree with those malefactors, one on the right hand and one on the left. And oh, how they heard thee crying, the witnesses of thee, crying with that way of thy pleading with thee, thy Father, with thee pleading thy with thy Father. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Lord, oh, we would very solemnly, with deep reverence, consider and know and acknowledge. Oh, that we know, solemnly know, why God our Father did so turn his back upon thee, his dear beloved Son. Oh, if we are being taught of thee, Lord, in the deep solemnities of the favour of knowing your interest in thy great salvation, we solemnly know the answer to thy words, Lord. Why hast thou forsaken me? Oh, Lord, we know. Because thou didst take upon thyself all the punishment instead that was due to us. Bore our sins in thy own body on the tree. Thou hast blessed some of us to know the blessed assurance of it, to know the seal of the Spirit with the blood, thy precious blood, thou didst so suffer for us. Oh, thou knowest the subject of the Apostle Paul, thou didst lay upon him to continually give witness of that Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead. And, O Lord, we beg we may be further favoured here tonight to consider thee, thy sufferings, thy sufferings, death and merits. O Lord, this is what thy people need the favour of thy applying the remedy to them, Lord, that they may know their sins are all blotted out by the precious blood of Christ. And he speak those words, the words of the prophet Isaiah, to us those years ago, Lord, thou knowest how we were. In the solitary night we were awake, Lord, and couldn't sleep. Now there he speak those words, I have blotted out thy sins as a thick cloud. Oh, Lord. Oh, could it please thee to favour souls in these ways, those that are burdened and tempted and harassed by Satan, burdened by sin, sometimes cannot a prayer repeat. But Lord, thou knowest their sighs, their groanings which cannot be uttered. Lord, do come tonight and bless them with the favour, the seal of the Spirit with the blood. Their sins are blotted out, put away by the precious blood of the Lamb. Oh, we are exercised to know if thou hast laid it upon us, that precious souls may be so favoured and blessed and assured and pardoned. They may know forgiveness. They may know the blessed peace that comes when pardon is known, felt and sealed to thy people, the peace which comes from thy cross, thy sufferings, thy bloodshed, the power of thy love, the love of Christ, redeeming love. Lord, this is what we pray and beg for, that thy dear people may know, experience the favour of it, sealed by the Spirit, granted application, imputation of thy holy royal robe of righteousness to them, Lord. Oh, they know if her heart is full with exercise and desire that thou would bless souls in these wondrous ways of thy grace. Oh, Lord, do hear us and bless souls here tonight. And Lord, our purpose, our exercise is grounded upon our desire for thy honour and glory, that thou might be highly exalted in praise, Lord, here from this cause of truth that swayeth thee. There might be the real full swelling of thy praises, Lord, in love and praise, here from the cause of truth, here from this garden of thy grace. Oh, that thou mayest come down into thy garden and eat thy pleasant fruits, Lord. Oh, we do beg, Lord, do come. You know, if poor instrument here is so poor and insufficient, but Lord, may we bring the words that thou would have to be spoken, Lord, and which thou hast purpose to apply to thy dear people. Lord, do them good. Do good in thy good pleasure. Bless them, Lord. Feed them, favour them. Lord, we are concerned that thy people may be fed, that they may be blessed to partake of thee by faith. They may be blessed to feed on the word, but oh, may it in the high sense of the favour of it be so given them that the word is thee, Lord, thyself. Oh, thou the incarnate word, thou the Son of God. Thou would say, my flesh is meat indeed, my blood is drink indeed. Do so favour thy people to partake of thee, to feed upon thee. Oh, what holy favour it is, Lord. Oh, what blessed favour to feed upon the Lamb, the Paschal Lamb. So do come, Lord, and favour souls. Oh, we beg it, Lord, from the depth of our heart, from a full heart we have in desire. And ere thou hast done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Ere thou hast given us to know thee, O Lord, to know thy love, and our desire is that many may know the blessedness of pardon, forgiveness, and even justification by faith, which thy holy purpose is to grant to thy dear people, who grant it, could it please thee, we beg thee here tonight. So do hear us, Lord, in heaven thy dwelling place. We have so much to confess of our poverty and sin, our wretchedness, our vileness, our unworthiness. But, Lord, we, feeling thee totally unworthy of the least of thy notice, but, oh, it is by thy grace we are given to plead thy merits, Lord, to plead the blood that did for sin atone, to plead for Jesus' sake. Oh, do so hear us, Lord, and undertake for us and grant those blessings, spiritual blessings in heavenly places. In Christ Jesus, make the sanctuary here tonight to some precious souls, the heavenly place, a heavenly place. Oh, even, Lord, there was come, Lord, and fill the place with thy glory. We beg thee, we ask for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn number 239. The Lamb is exalted, repentance to give, that sin may be hated, while sinners believe. Contrition is granted, and God justified. The sinner is humbled, and self is denied. Hymn 239.
And I would again announce the text in Acts, the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 26, the verses 22 and 23. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead, and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. As we have read the record of Christ on the cross of Calvary, where he suffered, bled and died in the room, place and stead of his people. And we've been singing, friends, words that are important really for us to know and consider and acknowledge. All born of the Spirit are brought to repent. Free grace can make adamant hearts to relent. Repentance is granted and God justified. Remission is given, and both from above, both from his love. Oh, the love of Christ. Do we know the love of Christ? Have we experienced anything of the wonderful love of Christ? Oh, the wonderful way the Holy Spirit gives God's people to know the love of God, the love of Christ. For everything, friends, in and regarding redemption and salvation is grounded upon the love of God to his people. You know, God set his love upon souls before the foundation of the world. That's the fundamental truth and doctrine of our most holy faith, the love of God to sinners, God's holy choice of his people, God's elect in love. Oh, and the way it is so given to those favoured objects of his love to know. They are blessed to be in the secret of electing love. He calls them by his grace. Now, are we born of the Spirit? Are we in this way of grace by the favour of God? And are we brought to begin to know and experience the love of God? The love of God to poor, wretched sinners. Here we've sung, here it's acknowledged what we've been singing. You know, the vilest of sinners forgiveness have found. For Jesus was humbled that grace might abound. Whoever repents of his sin against God, God will. He'll bring this, he'll give this, he'll bring his people to know repentance regarding and of their sins. They were all made to know it in some depth and measure. Made to become mourners over their sins and after Christ. And as they are so brought to be such, under the favours of the grace of God, God's love and grace, they need Jesus Christ. And this witness in the apostle was so continuing in by the help of God, witnessing was and saying, witnessing both to small and great, and saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come. You know, oh, here it was. We think of Moses when he was given, commanded of God to take off the shoes from off his feet. The place whereon they stand is his holy ground. And oh, what he knew and heard and experienced in that bush was burning. You know how too, as others, the patriarchs and so on, as we go right back in those things of what are recorded, and of the prophets, oh, here in those wonderful things experienced and known by the prophets, how they saw Christ die, how they looked forward, and how those things spoken of the prophets are fulfilled now, that Christ has come and he has sacrificed himself and he has shed his holy blood for the redemption of the Church of God. But friends, these are the truths, the sound and vital and wonderful doctrines of God, the fundamental doctrines of our most holy faith. These are the truths, but do we really know them? Do we really know Jesus Christ? Is he really, to us, the Son of God? And we know him as the Son of... You know how it was where the Lord was questioning his disciples regarding what men say of him. And then he come to this, to his disciples, he said, "But whom say ye that the Son of God is? Who do ye say that I, the Son of God, am?" And they said, "The Christ of God." Oh, the Christ of God, the wonderful Saviour of sinners. But oh, have we by the Spirit been brought to know Jesus, and to know him crucified for me? You will, if God is working in you, teaching you and bringing you solemnly to know your state as a needy sinner, you will know you need Jesus Christ. And oh, what is in my heart as we try to pour out in prayer to God is that you may know him as your Lord and your life and your all. And some of you do. And some of you who have been blessed, you need the confirming of it. You need the renewing of it. You need the Lord to come again. You need the Lord to come again and bless you and favour you. You need the Lord to come again and make that wonderful, blessed application of his holy, divine atonement to you, the holy blood of Christ, that it may be again applied to you. You may even be in it in this way, praying as we know it is in verse, plunge us in that crimson ocean, thy atonement made for sin, but that Christ should suffer. And he has suffered, friends. Come to me, and pondering, sitting in David and Prissy's house in the lounge there as we were pondering. They may have not known, we had our head down and we were pondering. When it comes so much upon one. And the theme of words, I know the words of the hymn writer, but they mean very much. See him. See him in our wretched place. See him stretched upon the tree. See him in the gloomy garden, sweating blood from every pore, to procure and bring in our pardon. See him. Have you ever seen him? Have you had a glimpse of him? Your suffering, Lord, that Christ should suffer. Have you had a glimpse of him suffering for you? Suffering in your room, place and stead? Having your sins laid upon him by God the Father? Here we read of it in Isaiah 53. Oh, we like sheep have gone astray. And we read, the Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. Oh, to see all your sins laid upon Christ. One of the hymn writers writes, to hear the blessed Spirit say, oh, this was done for you. This is what we beg of the Lord for. I hope I have sincerely begged of the Lord for tonight, that some of you may know it here tonight even. Be blessed to know it and have the favour of the application of the precious blood of the Lamb. Oh, that you may know your sins pardoned, blotted out, put away by the precious blood of Christ. But oh, it was his sufferings. This was the way of God, that redemption might be brought in. the Son of God had to suffer. And remember, friends, and let us not in any way come into words of and considerations of controversy. There's no profit at all in controversy concerning Christ. I believe by the Spirit God's people will be taught and they will know him. And oh, it's this, isn't it? He suffered to pour out his holy blood. Oh, the way of God, like it was that the animals had to be killed for the sacrifice. Oh, not that our Lord was actually killed. He laid down his life. He submitted unto death, even the death of the cross. He suffered, bled and died in that way on that cross. Yes, the Roman soldiers crucified him. They nailed him to the cross. But you think of it, and may I think of it, and may we truly meditate upon it, that he suffered the just for the unjust. It was much pain. We cannot even begin to, and would not, for being kept in reverence and in holy fear. We would not try to describe what it was, how he suffered. But we know his pangs of his body were great. They must have been tremendously great. But great are the pangs of his mind. Christ should suffer. Should suffer the wrath of God due to sinners. Should suffer in their room, place instead. Should bear the curse. Should suffer there on the cross in his people's room, place instead. God laying upon him all the punishment due to the church. He's suffering it there. Oh, see him there. How can you see him? God will grant you faith to see him. To see him and believe in him and believe and to believe and to humbly acknowledge with brokenness of heart and real contrition like we have been acknowledging in the hymn over our sins. And oh, how in such wonderful love, wonderful love to his people, he suffered. Suffered willingly as the just for the unjust, for bringing in eternal salvation, eternal redemption for his people. Oh, do you? Does the Holy Spirit bring you to come then in that way by faith to the cross of Calvary, even have a glimpse of him there, suffering in your room, place instead? That Christ should suffer. We know this word is a word grounded upon prophecy and what is spoken of in the Old Testament. And all those Old Testament saints, oh truly indeed, they look forward to the coming of Christ, to the sacrifice of Christ. And we now in these gospel days and the many years now that have passed since Christ was here on earth and all what he accomplished here on earth, so important to us to be ever remembering and considering, and how sweet and sacred it is if we truly know what it is, what one wrote. My soul looks back to see the burdens Christ did bear when hanging on the accursed tree, and hopes her guilt was there. Hopes it is so. We hope so by faith, but you know, and I have said to you here before, we don't want to be left to just a kind of expression of sentimental as it may be, saying, hope, hope so. Friends, we need to be assured. We need more than just hope so. You can live and profess by open profession in a way of attending the means of grace, and you can live saying hope so all your life and be found wanting at last. We want a good hope, friends. And you know how it is that a good hope is grounded, built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Oh, if any of you here are going on in your life in a kind of profession religion, and all you've got is just to be saying, well, I hope so, I hope I'll be right, I hope, you know, just with just natural words, really. I wouldn't judge you, but I must warn, because I know that we want more than just a natural hope, so we need a good hope through grace, look, we do indeed, friends. Built upon Christ by faith, grounded upon him, with the witness of the Holy Spirit, that we have some measure of assurance of hope and faith in Christ. Yes, you need it. And the only way really to have the real seal of it is pleading, begging for mercy, begging, Lord, hear me, Lord, save me, Lord, grant me to know. Grant me assurance, grant me what I know I need. Oh, if you really know you need him. Oh, you need the seal. You need the blood applied. You need the holy blood of Christ applied to you. I need it. I'm trying to preach. Dare you how important this is, because I know it myself. How important it is, friends. God has made me to know it. To know the need, and that I can never stand before God and be accepted by him in my own merits. I can never stand before God and be accepted by God even upon my chapel going or my preaching. I cannot, late friend Mr. Green used to speak very closely to me. I had some very sweet times of communion with him, and was blessed. He was the means of way of God blessing my soul, his ministry, and I used to talk to him closely. We loved to talk together, meditate and commune together, and he was so clear. He said, I'm not relying on my ministry. I'm not relying on my chapel going. I'm not relying on all the years of my profession. I'm relying, he was so sure in it and clear in it, relying alone on my precious Lord and Saviour, the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. And what his merits, you see, by his sufferings, blood and merit, this is what we rely on. Nothing else. Nothing else will save us. Nothing else will satisfy us. You cry to God, give me Christ or else I die. Yes, it must be upon him and grounded upon his sufferings. His sufferings, death and merits, his blood, his holy blood shed, the blood of God, divine blood, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. It's not enough to talk about it, not enough to quote it. We need the application of it. And this is what we pray for, we beg for. We must be brought to beg for it personally. And I believe the Holy Spirit will bring everyone who really needs salvation to beg for this favour, to know the blood of Jesus Christ applied to us by faith, God making application by the Spirit of God to us, sealing us with blood divine. That's what you need. That's what every soul needs. And so, friends, as we're here tonight considering how dear Paul the Apostle, he was witnessing and saying none other things than what Moses and the prophets did say should come, that Christ should suffer, that he should suffer, bleed and die, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead. How important, great importance, vital importance of the resurrection of Christ. That the grave was never to hold him in the will of God, it must not hold him. He rose triumphant by the power of God, the power of that power he had of the Godhead rose. He rose triumphant. The power of an endless life, he was the eternal Son of God. He rose triumphant over the grave, gained the victory over sin and death and hell by his glorious resurrection. And also, friends, you know, as much as, equally as much, and so vitally so, as we need the blood applied to us, the blood of Christ, the blood of the Lamb applied to us, and it is applied by faith. We also need the imputation of the righteousness of Christ to us. Yes, he rose, and he rose. He rose again for his people's justification. And the justification of God's people is wholly dependent upon the wonderful righteousness of Christ that he wrought and brought in for the church, that the church may be adorned with the righteousness of Christ, like as it is in the Song of Solomon, the beloved there, the bridegroom, and the bride, the spares. Oh, what is in there in that wonderful narrative of love? Love, the love so applicable and typical and of the love of God, the love of Christ, and the bride of Christ, and the marriage, and toward and for the marriage supper of the Lamb, oh, God's people. They must be brought to know their Lord in all these ways of his wonders, the wonders of his grace, the wonders of redeeming love, and his bringing in everlasting righteousness, weaving that garment wove by everlasting love through his perfect life, his perfect obedience, and how that favour of justification is by God granted to his people, God's people, by the Holy Spirit imputed to poor sinners who have had their righteousnesses all stripped away. It's the Lord working in you to strip you of your righteousness. But we've all got our own filthy garments, friends. We've all got our own fig leaf righteousness. We've all got our righteousnesses which is hateful to God. And God will see in his working in his people that all their righteousness is made to them to become as filthy rags. Is the Lord doing this in you and for you, making you know that you cannot depend on your own merits? You have none. I have none. None of us have any merits before God. Everything we may think of that we are right in and righteous in can't be accepted by God, because sin is mixed with all we do. But, oh God, has this wonderful way. His wonderful way is painful experience of the flesh, to be stripped of our natural righteousness that we all have a great deal of. But God does it. He does it in mercy. He brings his people to renounce their former pride, the pride of their self-righteousness, their self-love and their self-esteem. The Lord takes it, strips it off of them. Is the Lord doing it? If he's doing it, friends, there's wonderful evidence, and I pray God will bless you to be in expectation and praying and begging and watching and waiting. And the Lord may at his time, and he will do it at his time, clothe you with that wonderful new holy raiment, the righteousness of Christ. You able to acknowledge how you're stripped of all your fancied meekness to approach the dread I am, but then wonderfully led to see all fitness, centering in the worthy Lamb, and the holy Lamb of God shed his blood and brought in righteousness, the wonderful, full, complete righteousness because of his obedience, because of his keeping the law of God, because of his making the law of God that we have broken every part, he making it honourable on his people's behalf for them. And all his people then clothed in the righteousness of Christ. But how he did have to suffer, friends. How he did have to suffer so much. Oh, that Christ should suffer. And I think of friends here our Lord suffered under the temptations of Satan, the accusations of Satan, the accusations of vile, wicked men. Oh, he suffered so much. Even as he went about doing good, he suffered. He suffered so much that we can never begin to. And as I said before, we should never try to estimate what his sufferings were. But oh, friends, that Christ should suffer. But while he suffered so much, he was working, weaving the wonderful garment of the righteousness of Christ, the robe of righteousness for his people. For he never, never sinned. He never committed one transgression of the law of God. He kept the whole law of God, lived perfectly, perfect life, perfect obedience. Oh, because he ever was, never should be acknowledged as the Son of God with power. He had power against Satan, to resist the devil. When he was tempted, as we know, those three tremendous temptations he was tempted with by the devil, when the devil tried to cause him to go up to the pinnacle of the temple and cast himself. And the temptation, of course, was that the Son of God, the Holy Son of God, would take his own life. But oh, how he could resist, did resist. Oh, he did resist. And some of us have known such solemn temptations. And he has come in a moment and delivered us from the snare of the fowler. Oh, wonder of wonders, his saving grace. But friends, he resisted the adversary in every way. He could not cause him to sin. Oh, spotless, innocent and pure, the great Redeemer stood. Well, Satan's fiery darts he bore, did resist to submit to blood, to shedding his blood. And oh, friends, what we have in hope we trust is that his holy righteousness is imputed to us. And what we want and need is to know the power of his resurrection in a way that will so confirm us and assure us that we have interest in his sacrifice, his bloodshed, and his glorious resurrection, his victory over the grave. Oh, this is what you need and I need to know our interest in. May the Lord seal ourselves tonight with these great favours, that we may know our Lord, our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, as our Lord and our life and our all. My heart's full with desire and prayer that the Lord would bless some souls here tonight to know pardon, to know the peace that flows into the soul when pardon is known and felt, when the blood is applied, when redemption by price paid is known and experienced by faith, and when the Lord wonderfully gives that wonderful high favour of that adorning of our souls in that holy heavenly garment, the robe of righteousness, the righteousness of Christ. 'Tis, the hymn writer says, 'tis the garment wove by everlasting love. Try to ponder it. 'Tis the garment wove by everlasting love. Think of the love of God, the love of God Jehovah, all in the will of God that Christ should come, suffer, bleed and die, that his perfect life, his holy merits should be for the wonderful victory, as he would so rise triumphant, and the justification of the church grounded upon the imputation of the righteousness of Christ, and his victory over the grave. Oh, that victory. I shan't forget, I might have told you before, but I shan't forget arriving at Attleborough on Easter Sunday last year. And I have had some wonderful favours, and I don't want to say I have had them, God has granted them. Preaching there on Easter Sundays, two particular Easter Sundays, and last year too. And you know, it was as I arrived, our friend Andrew came to my car and said, He said, Christ the Lord is risen today. And I said, yes, Andrew, it's the victory. It's the victory of Christ, which is so great, so wonderful, so great a favour to know. Oh, do we know our interest in the victory of Christ. And the Lord had given me the subject to preach from. Oh, the wonderful subject of the victory of Christ. Thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, friends, that's the favour that God grants to his people. Oh, you have so much conflict, some of you, so much tribulation. The adversary is so fierce against you. Death and hell all stand before thee as your desert. And you know, Satan, the accuser of the brethren, he will not spare to say thou hast quite mistook the way. He will tempt you and harass you. He will, he certainly will. You know it, those of you who know it and experiencing it. But oh, try as God may help you. Oh, to enter in by faith into the wonders of the victory of Christ. He rose again, the first that should rise from the dead. Oh, he rose again for his people's justification, giving witness of the victory he wrought and brought in for the church, and that wonderful full completeness of salvation. Salvation that God's people can rejoice in. Salvation, oh my soul, rejoice. Salvation is of God. Oh, grounded upon the sacrifice of Christ, the sufferings of Christ, the victory of Christ, his victory over the grave. Oh, and friends, as I must not leave it short of this. God's people, what you will be, brought by grace, by faith, to be relying upon, is relying upon all what he's done in his finished work on earth. But also knowing, feeling so much need to be relying too upon Christ in his holy offices in heaven. Oh, here we sing, have sung many times at the graveside of dear friends that we have loved in Christ. Oh, how Jesus lives, no more to die. He lives the Lord enthroned on high. And oh, to meditate upon him, a great high priest above, he whose heart is filled with tenderness, whose bowels melt with love. Oh, and as you are favoured to meditate upon him, to remember how he walked this earth, how he suffered here on earth, this earth, suffered in Gethsemane and Calvary and all the other sufferings where he was spit upon and despitefully used and despised. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Oh, friends, if you are led and if I am led to meditate upon him, consider him, I believe this will sanctify us as the Spirit gives us to consider him, sanctify us and the favours of God's sanctification, God's dealing with us, God's working in us, God's correcting us, God's chastening us, all what we need, and all is in love and not in anger to give us an expected end. Oh, we will so be blessedly profited and live then by faith unto God, the Son of God, who loved us and gave himself for us. And friends, oh, if we know anything of these wonderful things of salvation, of forgiveness, of repentance, like we've been singing. Oh, that repentance, godly sorrow worketh repentance unto salvation. Are we each brought to really be sorry? I think of it now, as far as we are led on in the journey and where we are in time in our journey, in our pilgrimage journey. Is it with us now, especially older ones, but younger ones too can know it? Is it God brings us to really feel that sorrow? sorrow of heart, whatever sins have done to Jesus. Oh, have we been brought to look on him who we have pierced, and mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son? You think of that, how he so suffered. We have read how they gave him vinegar to drink, and how he cried out, it is finished, and gave up the ghost. Oh, friends, to think of him, to consider him, to meditate upon him, his sufferings, his death, and his merits, that we need to know by imputation to us, by application by the Spirit, and it will humble us. It will break us. It will melt us. It will humble us. We'll fall to the ground and weep to the praise of the mercy we've found. And we will want to live then to his glory. We will want to deny ourselves and day by day take up our cross and follow him. And you know, friends, I would be careful and not speak unwisely. But you know, if the Lord has so given you to see him your Saviour, even perhaps like we read in the Word, come see the place where the Lord lay. And if he's taken you there, and you have by faith seen that place where the Lord lay, even the empty tomb, see the grave close, where his body lay. Oh, no, he's risen. He's risen triumphant o'er the grave. He's alive forevermore. And oh, how wonderful, yet Solomon searching and separating all those words. He hath the keys of hell and of death. And I like to, as God does give me and has given me, to deeply ponder that. Dear Gerald preached from those words in the evening service. I think it was 2 years ago at Stopfold Home. Those words, and he put his right hand upon him, saying, fear not, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and have the keys of hell and of death. Oh, very tremendous words they are. Oh, very wonderful words. Oh, that we might know and believe. Christ says, lock the gates of hell against us, because we are his people. Oh, he will never allow Satan to so make mastery over God's people that they are left to drop into hell. No, those gates of hell are locked against God's people. Such is our God, our Saviour. But oh, he has opened the gates of heaven, made a way. Oh, God's way into the holiest by the blood of Christ, as his people plead and beg for mercy and seek him and plead for forgiveness, and ultimately in heaven. Oh, that way. Jesus, the truth, the way, the sure unerring light. We would put our arms, as it were, the arms of faith around him, cleave unto him. Oh, wonderfully to know the favours of that close communion, fellowship with Christ. May the Lord grant it to you, many of you here, all of you. My heart is filled with desire for every one of you. The Lord knows what he will do. May there be these things known and felt, favours of his love, and may you be able to witness what he's done. Paul was witnessing. He said witnessing. He was witnessing. God gave him the grace to witness, the grace to deny himself. Oh, how he did deny himself so much, Paul did, by the grace of God. And I believe we are called to deny ourselves when we are blessed, and to witness and give testimony of what God has done. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day were £675. for which we are very thankful. God willing, Mr. John Rosier will preach on Tuesday evening. There'll be a prayer meeting for the members on Friday evening. And Mr. Peck will preach next Lord's Day and address the Sunday school in the afternoon. Let us close with hymn 399. Amidst 10,000 anxious cares, the world and Satan's deep-laid snares, this my incessant cry shall be, Jesus, reveal thyself to me. Hymn 399.
dear Lord, forgive anything that was seen amiss in our services this day. Do own and bless thy word, Lord. Oh, those things of thy wonderful truth, the truth as it is in Jesus Christ. Oh, and do reveal thyself, Lord, and to us. Oh, grant us that wonderful revelation of thyself. Oh, we might see thee, oh, by faith and believe in thee, and have that wonderful seal of the Spirit of redemption, pardon, and that peace that passeth all understanding. Do grant it to souls, Lord, precious souls here, and help us to live testifying of thee, witnessing of thee what thou hast done for our souls. We beg thee, Lord, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit abide with us. Amen.